Please be seated and good morning. If you would like to follow along, I invite you to open your pew Bibles to today's Gospel, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. You'll find that on page 93 in the New Testament section of the pew Bible. On this fifth Sunday of Easter, the church in today's Gospel reading points us back to the Last Supper, back to Jesus' farewell discourse to the apostles. Friendship with Jesus, that which comprises the essence of discipleship, that which each and every one of us is called to without exception, is accomplished by our intimate, in fact, we could call it in a sense, our organic relationship with Jesus by His Holy Spirit. It is what makes the flow of His life and His power to us possible. This truth will make ever so much more sense to the disciples first when they see Jesus bodily leaving them at the ascension, but then most especially when they experience the descent and infilling of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And so Jesus portrays this relationship to which He calls all of His disciples, and that includes you and I. He presents it in the imagery of a vine and its branches. This is actually the seventh time in St. John's Gospel that Jesus begins a description of Himself with the words, I am. Of course, the words, I am, in Hebrew thought were very, very significant because it's an indication of the fact that He identifies directly with God the Father as Yahweh. So again, as I said, it's the seventh time that He begins a description of Himself with the words, I am. In John 6:35, He says, I am the bread of life. In John 8:12, I am the light of the world. In 10:7, I am the door of the sheep. In 10:11, I am the good shepherd. In 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. In 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. And now, in John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine. And so all of these I am passages give us a vital glimpse into the person and nature of Jesus, but perhaps none does more to present the critical importance that living in relationship with Him carries for the believer than this passage before us this morning in John chapter 15. You'll notice that Jesus says, I am the vine, twice in this passage. The first time in verse 1, He does so to portray His relationship to the Father, whom He calls the vine dresser, or in some translations, the gardener. And the second time in verse 5, to portray His relationship to us, His disciples, who are the branches of that vine. So after introducing the imagery of the vine, Jesus immediately goes on to describe two different kinds of branches on the vine. Those that bear no fruit and those that bear fruit. And of the one that doesn't bear fruit, Jesus says simply in verse 2 that the vine dresser, God the Father, takes them away. We discover a little more of what this really means when we read verse 6. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. So we learn of the tragic fate of branches that do not abide in Jesus and thus bear no fruit. But the real focus of this teaching is on those branches that do bear fruit and on the Lord's desire that they bear more fruit. And as He says, even much fruit, which is one of the marks of true discipleship. Notice carefully what Jesus says in the concluding verse, verse 8. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Okay then, fruit bearing is a crucial mark of discipleship, right? So how do we get there? Jesus outlines two requirements for bearing the abundant fruit of discipleship. These two requirements are, number one, to submit to pruning, and number two, to abide in the vine. First of all, what does it mean to submit to pruning? Because Jesus says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. What is it that the Father prunes from the branches? In other words, what is it that he desires to cut away from our lives, from the lives of believers? Well, one of those things, to be sure, is whatever dead wood exists in our lives. What is that? That's those things that clutter our lives and weigh us down and thus hinder our ability to bear fruit. They're dead wood because they're throwbacks to our old dead nature, the dead works of sin, as St. Paul would term it. What are they? Well, let's think about a few. They're things like a disregard for the truth of God's word and for the teachings of the church, unconfessed sin, a bitter or unforgiving spirit, ungodly relationships, a preoccupation with worldly pursuits. All of those things represent dead wood in our lives. In another context, the writer of Hebrews refers to these things as weights, when he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, Hebrews 12:1. Pruning is essential, but it's also painful. Sometimes the pruning takes the form of life's hurts and disappointments and defeats, all of which can make us stronger and more fruitful in the hands of the Father if we let them. Besides the dead wood, there's something else that the Father prunes from the branches of our lives. They're the little suckers that you see growing in abundance on trees and bushes this time of the year. As these little suckers sprout and grow, they use the life flow of the tree or the vine to produce leaves, but no fruit. What are these suckers in our lives? Well, they're the distractions, the diversions, the enticements of the culture that sap our time, our attention, our energy, and our resources, but have no lasting value. They might be attractive to us like a nice leafy little twig on a tree, but they divert the nourishment, the life flow of the Lord from those things in our lives that will bear fruit. The vine dresser, God the Father, calls us as the Lord's disciples to discipline. Notice the similarity between the two words. Disciples are called to discipline. A spiritually disciplined life is an essential element for bearing fruit in the kingdom of God. And so the Lord wants to prune away even those little things that distract and divert us from that disciplined life and therefore from discipleship. So brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to order our priorities in such a way that our time, our talents, and our resources are at his disposal, instead of being drained off in peripheral or purely worldly interests and pursuits. Now in verse 3, Jesus says something very interesting to the disciples. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. You are already made clean by the word that I have spoken to you. One of the things that makes this statement so interesting is Jesus' use of the word clean. In the original Greek text, the word for clean in verse 3 and the word for prune in verse 2 are one and the same. Cleaning and pruning mean the same thing in this context. Among other things, it means that, rightly understood, one of the purposes of the Word of God in our lives is to have the effect of cleaning or pruning away those things that hold us back. The Word of God convicts us of sin, doesn't it? It inspires us to holiness. It exhorts and encourages and energizes us. It promotes our growth and depth in the Lord. Have you ever had that experience? I know many of you have. My guess is that a lot of you here this morning have had one or probably numerous encounters with God's Word where you came away with a new strength, a new resolve to carry out His will, in a particular situation. Now, as we move on to the second requirement for fruit bearing, namely abiding in the vine, let's pause here a moment to look a little more closely at the whole idea of fruit. What is it? What does it look like? What it more specifically is the fruit of discipleship that Jesus calls us to bear and manifest in our lives? Well, you don't have to look very far to find the very same terminology used by St. Paul in the fifth chapter of his letter to the Galatians, where he identifies the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is so called because it is quite literally a work of the Holy Spirit produced in and through our living in a vital relationship with Jesus. In Matthew 7:20, Jesus said, "By their fruit shall you know them." A life that is completely fruitless in terms of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is demonstrable evidence that a person is not in Christ and therefore not his disciple. Now let's think about this for a minute. Jesus didn't go to the cross only so that you and I could be saved from sin and death. He certainly did that, but he did oh so much more. He did so that we could abide in him. In other words, so that we could live in him, we could remain in him. In him we live and move and have our being, we read in Acts chapter 17. He didn't pay that horrific price of crucifixion so that we could gather together on Sunday and just play church. He did it so that we could bear fruit. And do you know what a Christian with no discernible fruit in his or her life is like? He's like an apple tree that produces a beautiful foliage of leaves, but no apples. Apple trees are meant to produce apples. Christians are meant to produce the fruit of the Spirit. For much of the growing season, the branches on a vine or on a fruit tree are in the receiving mode, taking in moisture and nutrient-rich sap from the vine or the tree trunk and photosynthetic energy from the sun. But it's all for one purpose, isn't it? It's all for the purpose of eventually bearing fruit. In Ephesians 2:10, St. Paul teaches us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works," or we could say, for fruit. Again, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Abiding in Jesus is a choice to deliberately meet every circumstance, every situation, every encounter in life by means of the resurrected life that was implanted in you at your baptism. Meeting those things by means of the old sin nature is easy, isn't it? It's the most natural thing in the world to do this all in our own wisdom, in our own strength, and by means of our old sin nature. So meeting those things by means of that nature is very easy, but it's sheer futility. It is, in other words, fruitless. It bears no fruit, at least not the kind of fruit the Lord is looking for in our lives. And again, what kind of fruit is that? We've already talked about the fruit of the Spirit as an obvious manifestation of abiding in Christ. And you know what that fruit is, right? Galatians chapter 5, St. Paul tells us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That is the fruit of the Spirit. So then how does the fruit of the Spirit play out in practical ways in our lives? Let's think about the ways, because there's lots of them. It plays out by allowing God to use every circumstance, good or bad, to transform you into the image of his own Son. It plays out by taking advantage of the means that God places at your disposal for abiding in him and his life flow. What are they? A consistent prayer life, the diligent study of the Scriptures, by deeply and humbly feeding on his body and blood in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. After all, Jesus said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Then he says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood does what? Abides in me. There's that word again. Abides in me and I in him. Also by maintaining short accounts with God through frequent use of the sacrament of reconciliation. Also by being a person who lives not for yourself alone, but for the Lord and for others, for your own family and friends, for your brothers and sisters in the Lord, for the poor and the needy and the lost of the world. And by using what God has invested in you of time and talent and treasure to support the work of his kingdom in and through the church. The point of abiding in Jesus is that day by day, week by week, year by year, we become more like him, walking in deeper communion with him and becoming more and more dependent upon him. The vine is the source of life for the branches. The branches are utterly dependent on the vine for their life. In Colossians 3:3, St. Paul says that your life is hidden with Christ in God. Just as the life of the branch is hidden deep in the vine, our lives are to be hidden deep in the abiding resurrection life of Jesus. In Galatians chapter 2, St. Paul said it this way, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, brothers and sisters, if you begin to live out of a conviction that all this is true, and I hope you do, it will change your life for the better forever. It will. If you begin to live out of an acknowledgement that continually abiding in Jesus is not only possible, but normal for the Christian, you will experience a joy, a peace, and a freedom that you've never known before. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.